Saturday, July 5th, 1975.
The 51st Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod opened here at Anaheim on the 4th of July, but there were no fireworks. Observers are sensing a surface calm without the open tensions that marked the New Orleans Convention 2 years ago. In his report and in a press conference, the president of the church, Dr. Jacob A.O. Preuss, appealed for harmony in the doctrinal dispute and indicated that the convention should not be expected to resolve everything.
I don't think everything will be settled or can be settled at a convention. And I don't think they'll all be settled by the passing of resolutions or bylaws. Because what we want is really a spiritual fellowship and the restoration of peace. And in saying that, I think I'm speaking for every human being out there on that floor.
Following this lead, the convention chose not to exclude members of ELIM, Evangelical Lutherans in Mission, from the accredited delegate list as had been proposed. The convention theme is Jesus Christ is Lord. At the opening communion service, 5th Vice President Dr. August Brinfall presented the delegates a challenge in his sermon.
And every thinking person knows that unless the love of God is going to be spread abroad in the hearts of people, we may be on the verge of racial wars and suicide, more dreadful than anyone cares to imagine. For the world has become a neighborhood without ever beginning to become a brotherhood. And just to keep pace, they tell us, we need to win 185,000 people every single day, 7,708 every hour, and 127 every minute.
The weekend here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention will give delegates some time off from legislating, but for those who are willing to undertake some extra involvement, there was an ambitious evangelism workshop scheduled for Saturday afternoon. This followed a Saturday morning debate of a resolution on a Lutheran understanding of evangelism. The weekend will be climaxed Sunday evening with what is billed as a celebration featuring Art Linkletter as narrator.
This convention news service is for members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can help us evaluate its usefulness to you by giving us the name of your city after you hear the beep tone signal. You may also leave a comment if you like.
St. Louis, Missouri, and I appreciate the recording of the voices themselves. Thank you. Lou, I had a few questions here that I thought I'd ask you, and then if there are some things that I haven't hit upon, perhaps you could fill in, okay?
Fine, good.
All right, first of all, according to the telephone message, it says something about evangelism, and I've read, too, in the Lutheran Witness, that they had planned this afternoon participation either in evangelism workshops or an actual evangelism calling. I just wondered if you had taken part in either one of those or which it would have been.
Well, they had both. No, I didn't. We had a caucus meeting of faculty, and we met till counting lunch off. I didn't get down to about 1:45 altogether.
Oh, I see.
I wasn't able to get on the visiting.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
The visitations today started at 2 o'clock, and the buses took all anywhere from 200 to 400 delegates out to the various churches who had this all planned to make visits.
Oh, fine.
And then they're giving supper or dinner supper mm-hmm. to all of them at the various congregations.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The workshops went this afternoon, and they finished by 5, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they repeated each other.
Right. One thing that interested me, too, the recorded report said that in the morning there was debate on the resolution on a Lutheran understanding of evangelism. I wondered, what kind of debate that might have been. Could you fill me in on that?
It wasn't mainly amendments to clarify some of the amendments, which I guess led to what you might call a debate, suggested to make it more comprehensive.
Oh, I see.
That is their description of what would be acceptable programs coming from outside the Lutheran Church, what would be acceptable to our Lutheran understanding of evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it had to do with this, trying to make this thing more comprehensive. But the committee suggested that this wasn't intended to be a comprehensive in that. plan area,
mm-hmm.
a resolution, but rather just to alert to the fact that we want to have programs which we could also trust theologically from our Lutheran viewpoint.
Right, right.
It wasn't so much a debate as to pro or con what is or isn't, but amendments to, and this hasn't yet been resolved, that they still haven't passed a resolution. It was the time was up allotted to the Evangelism Committee.
Right, so the theology of evangelism itself was not debated, in other words.
No, they're all for it.
Yes.
Everyone, it's an excellent, no, they're all for it. Just they were trying to nail this thing down a little bit more as to what would or wouldn't be acceptable.
I see. Right, right. Okay, and then just in general, I wondered what you discovered to be some of the general moods of the delegates there, and especially with regard to their reaction to Gehrke's clearance of the false teaching charges against Tietjen.
Yes. Maybe just a thought on the overall tone of the convention.
All right.
This is premature, I'm sure, because just a day and a half now.
Sure.
But right off after last night, I mentioned this to two of the other delegates, too, one of the seminary professors in Springfield, who was at the New Orleans Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And we all independently came to this conclusion that there seems to be a different, I won't say a different spirit, but a different tone at this convention compared to New Orleans.
Yes.
Namely, that the delegates here seem to be really wanting to get on with the work, and they're not going to fool around with a lot of this carrying on that was done at New Orleans.
Oh, yes.
So that it seems that if anyone is here, or any group of people who would like to hamstring this convention or filibuster or
mm-hmm.
just make it impossible or difficult for work to be done, that this is not going to be put up with at this convention.
You said a no-nonsense approach.
Yes, a no-nonsense approach. This seems to be coming across, this tone.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it seems, now this is premature too, I'm sure it is.
Yes.
You may feel differently after a couple of days, but it seems also that the strength that the moderate Elam faction we're counting on does not seem to be here.
Mm.
Now, they're here, of course, and how strong it is, one cannot yet gauge,
mm-hmm.
although a couple of the votes you might try to begin to gauge this, but it seems as of now that they are not going to be able to count on as much strength as they thought they might have.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the Gherkin teaching thing, there hasn't been much reaction from the delegates. It's not going to be considered here at all. The only thing you can get at the convention, of course, the only thing you can get is as you talk amongst your colleagues or fellow delegates, advisory or electoral delegates. And I would say I don't think it's going to have much of an impact at all on the delegates. However, it seems to be two things that one have noted, and again, this is just very sketchy. First of all, that the so-called conservative delegates are really mad about it.
Mm.
And they're just all the more determined to continue what they've come to do here.
Right.
Secondly, the moderate delegates may well think that they may well receive from this publicity made over it,
mm-hmm.
especially in mission perspective,
right.
That they may get a motive to all the more try to carry on what they came to do.
Yes.
But it's not going to change anything, though, I don't think, because they can see through it. The firm put out their first copy of the daily bulletin and went through this whole thing, and I think did a very fine job
mm-hmm.
of delineating what fact from rumor and exactly what was involved when exactly happened.
Right.
And they point out in this, Gherkin's report also was released and given to all the delegates, by
right.
the way, as they left this afternoon
mm-hmm.
or at noon. And it's quite clear that Gherkin says that Tietjen has a different view of inspiration than is our church's view. Also a different view, quite a different view, in a gospel-scriptural relationship
mm-hmm.
than what we have in our Missouri Synod.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't call it false teaching while we, I guess, we have.
Right.
And that's what difference comes in. So a firm pointed this out. I don't think it'll have much effect on what's going to happen here.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else in general that sort of struck you at this point?
No, there was a resolution passed this morning. Just if I can get that. Dealing with let me get that for you here. to combat racism.
Mm-hmm.
A resolution coming from number 4-403 on administration to combat racism, which is a good resolution. There was only one amendment made to that resolution that I'm quite fearful of, and that amendment is to set up a full-time person to help our church to get rid of racism in all of its areas. And this, now this was not yet passed, this resolution, because the time ran out on floor committee four is a lot of time.
Right.
So they'll come back to it. That's the same committee that will come up with this English district, resolution to dissolve it. And this I'm really concerned about, and we shared this we had a caucus of our faculty at 12:30 this afternoon after the morning session.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fearful of this, that if this should be passed, we'll have a man that has a full-time administrative position to help our church get rid of any kind of racism in all of its areas of work.
Served as like an ombudsman for that? Is that the idea?
Yes. And also to plan programs as to how to alert congregations to avoid racism and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I'm concerned about having such a man breathing on the next congregations.
Right.
This is what I'm concerned about, and it looks like the delegates are going to pass this thing, although it will come up again, because time just ran out, but it looks like they're going all for it.
Who would decide who that person would be?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't spelled out. I would imagine the board of directors, I would imagine, would hire such a man.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just sort of guessing.
Right. It almost seems superfluous in view of what we already have built in, right, in to our synod.
Yes. We also have a one administrative post who is handling this already
right.
On a synodical level. I think he's the man that hires personnel on a synodical level.
Yes.
But I'm really concerned about this,
that this
resolution is pushing this into the area of the congregations, districts, circuits, all levels to combat racism. Now, while it's a good resolution to have a man full-time doing this, it gets to be a bureaucratic organization.
Sure.
And I don't like this aspect of it.
Right. It almost shoves off this responsibility that we all have onto one particular person, doesn't it?
Yes. And then, of course, making up programs which you would try to get congregations to follow,
Right.
So I'm a little concerned about this and the finances to have a whole full-time administrative office and officer involved in this, and I guess some kind of a staff too will be working with them. This really scares me.
Right.
But it hasn't been passed yet, and hopefully we can get a log jam and cause it not to be passed. That part of the resolution, but I'm fearful. I think it will be.
Yes.
They're all going for it.
Mm. What items of major importance do you think will be discussed tomorrow?
Well, our committee, the committee that I am on, the Constitution, that's committee number 5, we come up tomorrow afternoon again, and our second resolution, the first resolution dealing with the setting of the task force, was not quite passed yet, but it will be. It was just a matter of talking about some points on it. And then our next resolution will be this one on the DPs, district president. So this will come up tomorrow, and we'll have a whole hour that we can deal with it. And of course, this is one of the great resolutions of this convention.
Right.
And there'll be a sharp division on this, of course. And so that tomorrow evening, hopefully, we can give you a report on this. I know we will have some kind of report, but I don't think that within an hour we'll be able to finish it.
Right.
But at least we'll get a pretty good idea as to how it's going to come out.
You mentioned task force. You mean that the recommendations already have been discussed, or?
Well, we had resolution 5-01.
Mm-hmm.
It's now called 5-01A because we rewrote the whole thing, our committee, setting up a task force to evaluate, study, and come up with possible suggestions of reorganizing our whole synodical structure.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Including the Constitution, the bylaws, the whole structure of this, the Synod, its committees, the whole structure of the district, the service, the whole thing.
Right.
And they're all going forward. This is a solid resolution and the floor, all the delegates are deep behind it. They want it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of clarifying things on it, how you ask questions and talk about it.
Right.
This will be just in past, and then our second resolution, committee 5, will be this one on just VPs.
Right.
This will come up tomorrow afternoon.
Right.
And so tomorrow evening I should have a good, at least something to say about that.
Good.
being held in the service until we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really upset. So none of us, well, one or two, but most of us did not take the Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some of us didn't even go to the service when we realized that was on. We upset a lot of the delegates. A lot of the VPs were upset about it, the district presidents.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The only other thing to add.
Sunday, July 6, 1975.
Here in Anaheim, California, the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod resumed Sunday afternoon with the 1,100 delegates picking up business items after a 24-hour break. The Saturday and Sunday activity for delegates focused largely on the area of evangelism rather than any controversial legislative or doctrinal problems. Following the passage on Saturday morning of a resolution affirming the definition of evangelism as sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, there were community exercises in house-to-house visitations. On Sunday evening, the convention and thousands from the Los Angeles area participated in a celebration. The president of the host California Southern District, Dr. Arnold G. Kuntz, explained the plan.
Art Linkler will be our major host. He will be conducting a couple of interviews with some of the youngsters. It's my understanding that that's where it's going to work now. And he's also going to be our major interviewer. We have also Lillian Lehman, who has made her mark in television and is, by the way, a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and starred on Summer Fly some time ago. She will be participating, singing undoubtedly. And then Olin Harrison from High Chaparral will be serving us too. He has a history with us. He played the part of Martin Luther during our 450th anniversary celebration some years ago, and he has a soft spot in his heart for Luther ever since.
The convention Sunday decided to look into the matter of reorganization and approve the creating of a task force to submit proposals. Thus, the Missouri Synod will follow many other church bodies who have undergone reorganization within the last few years. The convention moved from procedural matters to a more potentially controversial issue on Sunday, when the Floor Committee on Constitutional Matters introduced a strong resolution that would provide a process for district presidents to be removed from office if they persist in ordaining or authorizing ordination of unendorsed ministerial candidates. 8 district presidents have been charged in connection with ordinations of Seminex graduates. A final attempt to have the matter resolved through the Council of Presidents has been requested, and so the convention will not vote on this matter until Tuesday, following a Monday evening session of the 38 district heads. The assumption is that if these presidents all agree on a statement, the convention would not need to act.
Given what they said, not too much happened.
No, the only thing that happened was that Committee 5, Constitution Committee, did get onto the floor that 5-02A, which deals with the district president.
Yes.
That got onto the floor, and but that's about all that happened. Outside just sort of procedural things from a couple of the committees. The elections would took place, but again, no results yet.
Hmm. All right. Now, they said something to the effect that they're giving this back to the lap or the district, the Council of Presidents, rather than voting on it, and then they would take this up again on Tuesday to see whether the council itself would come up with some solution to the 8 dissident presidents. Do you have any more to report on that?
Well, what the floor did, we after the resolution was presented, they then decided by the request of the chairman of the council president not to consider it or debate it at that moment, but rather to postpone debate until the next time that floor committee number 5 has a part on the program, which will be Tuesday, because all the presidents want to have make one last effort with the 8 particular presidents on Monday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And the assembly went along with that. So depending what the presidents report, the resolution will be considered again. It will be considered then on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. I was asked to ask you whether there are any election results that came through yet.
No, the elections took place, but no results. I would imagine they may begin tomorrow to report, but no results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything that any of the other men from the seminary have voiced concerning their opinions and so on? Anything that they asked you to report or you'd like to share with us?
No, I didn't see any of them. I saw Roland Hopman, but we didn't talk about any particular thing. I was together with John Clarkson's wife. Meg and I were together with John and Florence at the worship service this morning. Mm-hmm. But no, nothing particular to report from that angle, no.
Okay, well, I have nothing further to ask. Was there anything you'd like to state that happened, or, you know, a real consequence?
Well, maybe just one thing. There was a motion after the Resolution 5-02 was presented by the committee to the floor. Someone made a resolution to not consider this at all because they didn't, the speaker didn't think that the assembly in convention was the proper place to consider such a problem of dissident disrepressment. Well, that was turned down. But it was turned down by a 600 some votes to 400 some, so about a 6-4 ratio. And that may possibly indicate how they might vote on the resolution itself. About 4,500 voting against censuring the DPs or against the motions, and about 620 or so voting for the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Whether this is going to be indication of how they're going to vote on these sensitive issues, I don't know, but that's about where they split up on that. It's the first real indication how of what we have of how the convention might split on one of these delicate situations.
Mm-hmm.
600 and some votes to 400 and some.
Are you meeting tonight?
No. There is a great, called a celebration service tonight, which Art Linkletter is chairing or mass, what do you call it, toastmasting or whatever they
yes.
I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's various reports from organizations in the church of the joy of what they've been doing for Christ. And it's a musical celebration type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Art Linkletter is going to be chairing it or hosting it or whatever you call it.
Oh, yes.
And that starts at 7:30.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, so but there's no convention business tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lou, take care of yourself.
Of course you will, and love to everyone.
All right, fine. And listen, say hello to all of our men and all representatives
there.
Of
course you will. And you know how...
Monday, July 7th, 1975.
Here is what's happening at the Anaheim Convention of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. The emphasis Monday was on missions, and a policy type of resolution was passed that affirmed the church's mission in light of what it noted were tensions within the board and between the board and staff. The church has transferred responsibility for its television ministry to the International Lutheran Layman's League to be effective next February 1. Included would be the new seasonal family specials as well as This Is the Life. 1977 was designated a year for devoting major attention to improving the quality of Sunday schools and other parish education. Similar resolutions encouraging congregations to take aggressive lead in programs for youth and young adults were passed. Some 8,500 persons attended Sunday night's celebration and heard three large choirs and some show business performers. When asked at a press conference why he was willing to narrate the production, television personality Art Linkletter said,
During my many efforts to combat drug abuse, I became associated with the Aid the Lutheran program in Appleton, and they have been so outstanding in their support of a wholesome and healthy and constructive fight against drugs that any time I can do anything for the Lutherans anywhere, I'll be there, because they really stood up when it was time to be counted and delivered right down the line. Marvelous. One of the best experiences of my last half dozen years with any organization, any place.
On Monday afternoon, after the first spirited debate of the convention, the church passed a resolution on Seminex. It called upon those supporting Seminex to close it, and if it continues to exist, it will be regarded as any other theological school not affiliated with the Missouri Synod. One delegate gave five reasons for supporting the action.
Seminex is not a synodical seminary. First of all, because it does not have a board of control elected by the delegates of a synodical convention. Secondly, Seminex is not a synodical seminary because it is not under the jurisdiction of the Board of Higher Education of our Synod. And thirdly, Seminex is not a synodical seminary because its president is not called by Synod. Fourthly, Seminex is not a synodical seminary because it is not part of Synod's budget. And fifthly, Seminex is not a synodical seminary because its faculty was not called by Synod's board.
On Tuesday, the convention will move into more of the issues that are expected to be controversial. The next telephone report will be available at this same number after 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Tuesday, July 8th.
We're very sorry that we didn't get the tape of that conversation with Professor Brighton, but it won't be too much difficulty to summarize the conversation that we had with him just a few moments ago. We talked mainly about the vote on the Seminex issue, the vote which determined either that Seminex should close or if it continues in existence, that we consider it as we would consider any other non-synodical school. I asked Professor Brighton about the vote on that particular resolution. He said it wasn't close. He said it was a clear, good, strong majority. He also added that nobody in that resolution or on any other had asked to be recorded as voting negatively. He further mentioned specifically the resolution 2-01 concerning the mess that we've had in our Synod's mission board. To straighten that out, that resolution also passed easily by voice vote, and it wasn't necessary to take account on that. He said that, generally speaking, the votes have been running about 650 to 440. There is the two-thirds majority necessary. He said that no election results have been forthcoming. And about the only other thing that I can recall of any consequence in our conversation was I asked him, what about these tidbits of information we've been getting indirectly here that the Elam people plan a walkout, they plan to announce their independence of Synod, but they're waiting for the opportune moment when it looks as if they're being pushed out rather than quitting on their own accord. Professor Brighton said that they've been hearing the very same rumors out there. And that was about it as far as our conversation went. Can you think of anything else, Larry?
No, I can't. I think it's pretty well.
I don't know whether the mic is picking up Larry, but he shook his head in the negative. And so that's about it, and we're hopeful that tomorrow night we get the conversation on the tape, and whatever the gremlins are around here, we'll get rid of them. Thank you.
Tuesday, July 8th, 1975.
The convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was asked to dissolve the English district and refused. After extending debate and voting down a delaying substitute, the convention voted no to a proposal that it terminate the non-geographical district by next summer. The debate included references to the alleged punitive nature of the resolution. Spokespersons also mentioned the fact that the English district itself had not asked to be dissolved. As the debate continued on the matter of a constitutional procedure that would provide a way to remove district presidents from office, the convention took the time to hear from the 8 district presidents whose action in ordaining or authorizing ordination of Seminex graduates was in question. The convention also asked the president of the Synod, Dr. Preuss, to speak. The resolution of the question is still undetermined. A procedure to attempt to determine the doctrinal position of former members of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, whether or not they were or are guilty of false doctrine, was adopted by the convention Tuesday morning. President J.A.O. Preuss was instructed to appoint a 5-person committee to individually interview former seminary faculty members who wish to use the process. Most of the faculty are now at Seminex and are those named collectively in a New Orleans resolution 2 years ago and have been under what was termed a cloud. The convention authorized a new $2 million World Hunger Drive on a 2-year basis and also gave authorization for a full-time staff person to work with hunger concerns. The convention heard an address by Dr. George Harkins, General Secretary of the Lutheran Council in the USA, an agency in which the Missouri Synod shares work with the other two-thirds of American Lutheranism, namely the American Lutheran Church and the Lutheran Church in America. Dr. Harkins referred to the Missouri Synod's cutback in funds to the Lutheran Council and said, "I would not be honest with you if I said this did not hurt the other two church bodies and the council itself. It did. In the minds of many of our publics," Dr. Harkins said, "Lutheranism is not as divisible as some of us attempt to make it." This completes today's convention summary.
Hello?
Hey, hello. This is Martin Schmidt. Is Lou there?
No, they're still debating. I raced over here so I could catch your call. He's on stage right now with this district president resolution.
Yes, we wondered about that, Mary Bell, yes.
Yeah, but I was there all day, so if you want to take what I have to say, I'll give it to you.
Fine.
Okay. Well, let me see. Probably the most encouraging note today was the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly conservative men went into office. The Board of Control of St. Louis, which you'll be interested in.
Right.
Are Ray Wald.
Uh-huh.
Schmidt.
Yes.
Disson.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't read my writing. It looks like Thorne, Wilder, and Burton. You have a name like that?
Unless they were nominated from the floor, they're not down here. They're probably...
I'll read to me what you have.
Well, you mean among the teachers?
Yeah, that's the two teachers.
A Cantwell and a Tormalin are here, and then a Bergman and a Walther.
Mm-mm. Doesn't look like either one of them. Well, the reason why I say that I know that was mostly conservatives.
Yes.
Is this one delegate got up, and he was from the other side, and he was furious. He says, this was a farce because these are all affirm candidates that won, which you could tell.
Yes, yeah. In fact, the update that we got from the Elam telephone number, that's exactly what they said. They said the 50 people elected were the 50 that affirm recommended.
Right. Now, as far as the English district,
mm-hmm.
They will still exist.
Was there a lot of debate on that?
Yes, quite a bit, but I would say that it was very clear that the people felt like that it was ridiculous to even pursue it, because how can you dissolve a district which refused to be dissolved?
Right.
And they were, it was just so convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know especially Frankie was so persuasive on that, that I think he's one of their most persuasive speakers on that particular thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about...
They threatened to run on the church extension funds.
Oh.
He said, here's what he protected. He says 200 congregations will cause utter chaos. They will run on the extension funds.
Mm-hmm.
And 100,000 abuses, your people will feel they're abused.
Mm-hmm.
And they would look on it as punishment for opposing the administration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about this five-member committee that Price is supposed to appoint to interview some of the next profs?
He didn't say who they were. I don't think there was anything on that. They tried to get that passed to give the clearing. The people had not understood that motion. They had felt like this was punitive, and they spent a great deal of time to explain to them that this was just in fairness to them to clear their name and in response to the students' request.
Yes.
So that did pass, but no committee has been appointed.
Yes.
And that was probably hammered in quite a bit on this other, too, that, you know, they keep bringing that home as they've never been, the charges have never been cleared and so forth, you know. They put it quite plainly early in the day that there had not been time nor possibility to do it.
Yes, yes. Right, right. Was there anything else, you know, that was really kind of earth-shaking or not at this point, would you say?
I was just telling my father, and I was sitting here, that Jack Foyce really pulled an Oscar Gergen on us.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, to begin with, regarding to the English the district presidents,
mm-hmm.
The presidents met till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Trying to iron this out themselves, and they were not able to.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the thing came to the floor, they allowed each one of the eight to speak to the, I want to call it congregation, you know what I mean?
Right,
group.
Right.
They were very persuasive.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Preuss was to answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And he started out quite well, but then he kind of lost his cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we met with them, and he says, the only thing that I can see that you can do, he says, if we would withdraw 502, and then he turned to Harold Heck, and he says, would you, Harold Heck, abide by the Constitution? And he was shouted down by the Senate people there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there were a lot of people in on it, but I wouldn't say half, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were angry because he made a personal attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the only thing that I can see, and this is what I favor for us to do, is to withdraw 502A. And he says, now if someone else wants to speak, otherwise they can. So then other district presidents were allowed the privilege to speak, because there had been eight district presidents to speak, and they were going to give an equal amount of time to the opposition. They've been speaking, voting this way all day, first a pro, then a con. All day long they've been working it this way, because everything's so controversial. So then the other president spoke, Nichols spoke, and he says, no, you should vote for 502A, and Meyer was probably the most persuasive, but by the time he got to the floor, people were leaving in droves, because it was 6:20 or 6:25 when this was occurring, and they were just worn out.
Right. Do you have any idea how long it'll be until they've, settled that?
Well, I would say tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Wednesday, July 9th, 1975.
Process for removing district presidents who ordain unendorsed Seminex candidates into the ministry was voted today at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention in Anaheim. Debate began on Saturday and continued into Tuesday and to Wednesday in spite of maneuvers to work out a compromise. One of the eight district presidents involved spoke for the others just before the vote, when he declared that they intend to continue in the future to ordain Seminex graduates who are qualified. He was Dr. Rudolph Ressmeyer, president of the Atlantic District. Dr. Ressmeyer said, we have committed ourselves to acceptance of qualified brothers for future ordination, and we must say we intend to follow through. Before the vote, there were a long series of parliamentary questions that revealed the deep emotion felt by delegates. At one point in the debate, there was a motion that television crews be prevented from televising the debate, but this was roundly defeated. None of the eight district presidents was named in the resolution, which was, in actuality, a constitutional matter. Nevertheless, observers saw this matter as one of the pivotal issues in the doctrinal dispute in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Some even feel that, with the stated intention by the district officers involved to continue to support Seminex graduates without endorsement, serious critical matters that may yet divide the church are almost inevitable. Immediately following the announcement of the 626 to 466 vote, a parade of delegates began to the secretary's table on the podium, where they registered their names as voting against the resolution numbered 5-02. Opportunity was then given to another spokesman for the eight district presidents, Dr. Emil Jake of the Northwest District, to tell the assembly, quote, your decision not only affects the eight district presidents, but places in jeopardy all congregations. We agree that the final judgment rests with the congregations of the districts which elected us. We intend to take our case to them, end of quote. He said by this action, quote, you will have effectively not only put us out, but also hundreds of congregations and thousands of members. Such severing is not by our choice, but by yours, end of quote. The president of the church, Dr. Preuss, followed this with a statement saying that the resolution called for brotherly and fraternal handling of any situation and for patience. He said that under God's grace, the problem may yet be solved and may not fulfill the dire predictions and fears expressed here. This completes this convention report.
An answer maybe? Or?
Yeah, I think it would be better if I would just ask a few questions. I have at least six items down here.
Okay, fine.
Okay, first of all, excuse me, we got the vote, 626, 4, and 486 against.
There's 466 against. That's on 5028.
Right, right, yes. And some of the reaction here also, what did you think in general as to the debate on that vote and the reaction to it?
Well, of course, we had quite a lengthy debate yesterday and today, and I think it was about 11 o'clock or so. I mean, I'm not completely remembering here, but I think it was around 11 o'clock or so we finally got to the vote. Or it was about 10:30. So anyway, between 10:30 and 11, and they wanted to solve it right off. They didn't want to be pushed off from making the decision.
Yes.
And I think 626, 466 is of course a bigger proportion than we had in New Orleans, which was more about 45 to 55. So that we got more strength actually shown in this way. I don't know what you mean by reaction. Of course, I was very happy about it. I felt that, and many of us were saying that if 5-02A hadn't been passed, it would have been the end of our Senate. We would have disintegrated. Constitutionally, we could no longer have any authority from our Constitution. And also theologically, it would have made a mockery of Article 2 of our Constitution. And I think the delegates were quite clear on this, that this was not just a constitutional fight, men wanting or wanting not to keep the bylaws, but that they were doing this to permit false teaching to remain and continue to enter into our Senate.
May I ask this question? At the time the vote was called, were there still many delegates waiting to speak at the mics?
Oh, yes. You always said there's never motion, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But to close debate, you have to have a two-thirds vote, and there was a good, strong two-thirds vote. They've had enough debate, and they wanted to vote.
They're good and ready, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then according to the latest Elam update, we heard that there was a special news release by the 8 DPs, and that they also read a statement. President Jake read a statement to the assembled delegates.
Yes, I know nothing about the press release. I heard about it. I heard a rumor, but I know nothing about it. I haven't heard anything about that.
Yes.
But he did, after the vote was taken and 502A was passed, the president, President first permitted him to speak for the 8.
Yes. How was that taken? How was that received?
Well, in sadness, that they are so adamant that they refuse to go along with the Senate. And just sadness. That they show no indication whatsoever of humility or that they may possibly be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And President Proyce pleaded with them.
Yes.
And he made a point of it again after the vote that when another motion was being discussed, he said, but he took a privilege of the chair and said a few words. He said, even if one of them had said yes, he would abide by the Constitution and bylaws until this theological thing was solved.
Yes.
I would have urged the convention to withdraw 502A, but not even one of them.
Right.
And this, I tell you, made the delegates even madder.
Mm-hmm.
The conservative strength has just got stronger. It seemed to be eroding yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's strong today. It's holding, and they just got madder when they saw that these men were so adamant. They became all the more adamant in passing, standing strong, and they conservative stance toward these motions.
Right. Okay. And then I understand that the Elam vote passed.
Yes, 601 to 473.
That's the figure we got here too. And I just wanted a bit, if you want to see something about the debate involved before the vote, or was there any kind of a demonstration afterwards?
No, there was no demonstration after either 502A or 306.
Mm-hmm.
All they did was to go up there and give the negative votes, you know.
Oh, yes.
When 502A was passed, the chair permitted those to come up and register the negative vote, and they very quietly came up there.
Yes.
And after the Elam motion, 3-06 was passed.
Mm-hmm.
He had previously said that we sang two verses of a hymn, and we all sang it together, and then he had previously said to the person and the chairman that we would have a 15-minute recess after this motion, whether it was when it was dealt.
Right.
So they passed the motion, 601 to 473, we all sang two verses, and then we had a 15-minute recess. During that recess, again, they had asked if they could, those who had voted negatively, many of them, and I don't know all of them, they came up to the rostrum to register the negative vote.
Right.
Yeah, but it was no demonstrational. Very orderly.
Right. Okay. understand that the issue of the Springfield moving to Fort Wayne and the senior college closing, that was divided?
No.
No?
They had a 6-07A, which is a resolution to establish future direction of the Stoddard educational system.
Right.
And then you have 6-08A, which deals with the whole package thing. They separated, however, to set the philosophy first, and then 6-08A still keeps all the schools together in their movement.
Oh, I see. I see.
Now, that's still under discussion. That we closed at 6 o'clock with Committee 6 again, and 6-07A is still under discussion. No action has been taken. Of course, that action has to be taken up before we can get to 6-08A.
Do you have a workbook handy or a list of the people who were voted into office? Ari Keel is quite desirous to know who was elected to the CTCR.
I left my book over there because we made it out. Left the whole package over there. Werner Kohr, he was defeated.
Yes.
That you know, yeah.
Yes.
But apart from him, it was a solid, I guess, to a man, conservative elected.
Right.
And the Board of Control St. Louis, the three that were elected were all conservative.
Right, Mirabelle was telling us that last night, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry I didn't have bring mine with me here. I just got myself a note in front of me, but I didn't have that.
Oh, yes. Okay, fine. And then I had one more thing here. The resolution concerning the name of Concordia. We heard a little bit of this, at least added on the KFUO report. And about all I got out of that was the resolution deplored Seminex's use of the name Concordia Seminary. Now, were there more teeth to it than that, or just simply
four? Six-oh-six. To desist from unlawful use of name of Concordia Seminary. That passed very easily, handily, although it was discussed a little bit at length.
Yes.
And they have in there that they urge them to stop using it, and that if necessary, they would resort to legal action if they felt necessary to do this.
Oh, that's right in there.
That's in there, and the Senate passed that. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, these are my own words. I can't remember the exact words now, but that's in there. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're concerned about.
It was passed actually as it is in the
workbook. Huh?
Work in today's business.
Right. Uh huh.
Yeah. 6-06. Passed exactly as it is there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there very much discussion on that vote?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of discussion, but not near as much as 502A, and not near as much as 11.
Right, right.
Also, to clarify, 6-05 was passed as it is in today's business. That was published after the end of May. That to clarify status of Seminex graduates, that was also passed. But again, there was some discussion, but no real lengthy discussion.
The gist of that would be to give them an opportunity, to show them the route to be certified.
We urge them to be certified at the colloquy system, or through the colloquy way.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that was passed.
Uh-huh.
And these two passed quite handily with a big majority. I don't know what the number was, but it was no count taken. It was a great 605 and 606.
Okay, anything else that we didn't talk about you think should?
Yes, one that concerned us a little bit was 3-05, entitled the Clarified Declaration Concerning A Statement, you remember?
Oh, yes.
Yesterday, a motion to entertain another motion, a resolution to take the place of that, which would water this down, was accepted for discussion.
Yes.
But after discussing that substitute resolution, they turned it down by a big majority, and then after discussing a little bit further, 3-05, it was adopted by a substantial majority.
So in other words, a statement still has the binding quality.
Yes, and that's 3-05 was passed exactly as it is in your business today. Published after May.
Oh, I see. The only report we got was, I think that was that very close vote.
No, it was a good vote on that.
Yesterday concerning the first.
Vote was very close to entering a substitute motion. I think it was very close.
Right, right.
But they did this morning debate the substitute motion, and then they turned it down by a substantial vote and went back to the original 3-05, which also so in the end, after debate, was passed by a substantial vote.
Okay. Well, let's say that sounds very good.
Yeah, things look good. Yesterday, last night, I think it reported, I didn't get back here, and we were still hanging on this 502A, and no one knew exactly how it was going. In fact, many of us prayed last night about this thing. And it seemed to be yesterday, not just because of the English district thing. We kind of expected that anyway to go like that. But just the tone seemed to be they were just eroding somewhat. Not so much that the men would change their mind, but because of the tactics being used to confuse the delegates with always putting up substitute motions and not everyone being clear on just what was what. This morning, there was a solid majority went after 502A, and they just seemed to stay strong today.
Good.
Just conservative majority.
Very good.
So we're very heartened.
Good. Listen, I certainly hope all of us here hope and pray that all of you out there are healthy and...
Yes, thank you.
And hope you're getting some sleep.
Yes, it really is emotionally exhausting.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Lord's blessings.
Well, there too, I guess.
Right, yes.
Give love to our family and to everyone.
All right, fine.
As you see them.
Okay.
Lord's blessings.
You too.
And see you tomorrow night then.
Fine.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thursday, July 10th, 1975.
Church Missouri Synod Convention at Anaheim, California hurried toward adjournment Friday. There was time on Thursday for some of the more practical matters that every convention of a church body must handle. Wednesday was almost totally consumed with controversial matters dealing with Elam, Seminex, and district presidents. The work program of the church body was presented for 1976 and 1977, and this brought approval for a $27.5 million expectation of work next year and a $30 million program for 1977. The convention reaffirmed that the opinions of the church body's Committee on Constitutional Matters are binding on the church, and the appeal process from the judgments of this group, which Dr. Price, the president, has termed the Supreme Court of the Synod, is only to the convention itself. Even though the convention had a proposal before it that it hold its 1977 convention in St. Louis, the delegates instead chose Dallas, Texas as the location for the next meeting. There has been considerable debate on the issue of moving some colleges around. The proposal before the assembly is to move the senior college, now at Fort Wayne, Indiana, to Ann Arbor, Michigan, the site presently of a teacher's college. The proposal is to relocate Concordia Seminary that is now situated at Springfield, Illinois, to the modern campus at Fort Wayne, presently occupied by the senior college. All of the institutions carry the name Concordia. The matter was not resolved on Thursday afternoon, and further debate and voting are now scheduled for Thursday evening. There are only 120 registered at the Anaheim Convention. Some of them were vocal when a minor question of the role of the women in the church came on the convention floor. The floor committee had proposed that a task force related to women in the church should be dissolved and the work should be assigned to the Social Concerns Committee of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. The delegates turned this down and voted instead to...
Hello?
Hello, Lou.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
Fine. I understand today they said there were more practical matters taken care of.
Mostly just run-of-the-mill things, nothing controversial, really. The CCM thing about resolution on to uphold doctrinal matters that was passed, it was debated at length.
Yes.
A few things like that. Also, the campus ministry, that had a long, rather lengthy debate. The biggest debate, of course, the biggest thing that's up today and will come up again tonight is from Committee 6 on the movement of the senior college up to Ann Arbor and Springfield up to Fort Wayne.
Right. Did they pass that first resolution about the philosophy?
Well, they passed that last night.
That was passed.
Yeah, late. That was after we had, that was 607. 6-07.
What were some of the points of that resolution?
It's giving direction to our whole higher education. educational system.
Yes.
Mainly that we keep the quality of education we have now, towards St. Louis, the classical education behind St. Louis, and that we watch carefully the proliferation of junior and senior, you know, for junior and four-year colleges.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of just set a preamble, actually, for 6-08A, which is on the floor now, that was on today, and will come up again tonight, the actual movement of Fort Wayne up to Ann Arbor and so forth.
What would you predict as to the passage of that resolution?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think it will be passed, that Fort Wayne will be moved up to Ann Arbor. It just seems more logical.
Mm-hmm.
I think the point that seems to be gaining favor amongst the delegates, I mean those who may not be committed one way or the other before, is the fact that there are just too many colleges in such a small radius. You got Ann Arbor, and of course they are including Valparaiso in that, and then you have Fort Wayne, and it just makes sense too, I guess, to the average delegate who's not committed about the financial savings and so on.
Yes.
So I think they may go for that, but although I can't say with any certainty. Now, with Springfield going up there, I just don't know. I can't say anything about that. I just don't know how that may go.
Were you able to attend any open committee hearings on that matter?
No, because I've been tied up all the time in committee number 5.
See his own, yes.
Yeah.
I just wondered what feelings you had got from the delegates and so on.
Just from the delegates on the floor.
Uh-huh.
I would say a lot of them are still sort of torn between the two. They see the sense in moving Fort Wayne, and yet they kind of are leery about it.
Yes.
But I think that it will probably be done, but I may well be wrong. I just don't know.
Right. You know, the recorded message tonight wasn't of a very good quality. At one point it went dead, and then all of a sudden it went entirely dead.
Oh.
Just as they were talking about the matter of women delegates, I think, if I heard them correctly, they said there were 24 women delegates at the convention.
Yes, I can't remember the exact number, something like that, yes.
And apparently, the way he started talking as though some women were objecting and they wanted to see more women in the church or something. Could you say something about that? What happened there?
No, nothing like that. Was on the floor.
Oh.
Now, yesterday, of course, they had this thing about receiving the report from and then disbanding the task force on women.
Yes.
That was on yesterday.
Oh.
And then the resolution was that they disband this task force, I mean, so forth, and then give let the ongoing work of it be put into the hands of the social ministry thing, committee.
Yes.
And we had one or two women speak to that, and one was highly in favor of putting on the social concerns committee because there she felt that this could really get an ongoing attention, you know, women in the church.
Right.
But there was nothing stated like you just said, I can remember.
Unless maybe it wasn't on the floor itself. Yeah,
that may be that. Then that might be. I wouldn't know then.
Yeah, it was hard to understand because, as I say, the whole message went.
I've been sticking on the floor all the time, except when I'm in Committee 5, and we have been in and out somewhat from Committee 5, but mostly been on the floor.
Right. Now, the work program, they said $27.5 million for 76, $30
million. $30 million for
77.
77, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was set today, yeah.
It's a rather challenging figure.
Yes.
I guess in light of past performance, huh?
Yeah, the delegates, however, heard the report that they actually for 675 had one of the originally set to $31.5 million.
Oh.
But because of the past performance, they cut it down to 24 and then subsequently went back up to 26.
Right.
So on the basis of that, the delegates felt that that was the least they could do, was 27 for now for 76 and 30 million for 77.
Yes.
And that's just keeping up with the inflation. That's no advancement in any programming.
Yeah. Did you get a feeling, was there a feeling, the sense of now that we're just getting to grips with a doctrinal situation that perhaps we'll have an easier job raising this? Did you hear anything?
Well, I would say yes, but in another sense, it's rather difficult. Just what will happen with the district presidents and their district is 8 presidents.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure that we could have an immediate reflection of that in giving for the next 3 or few months.
Right.
We could have a drop, maybe, even. It just depends what they do.
Right.
I think overall, over the long haul, we will see an increase in giving.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the immediate picture of giving may be affected somewhat and maybe quite drastically in certain areas by resolutions of this convention concerning the DPs and ELIM.
Right, Was there anything said concerning faculty salaries or anything like that?
Oh, nothing, no.
Nothing?
Nothing specifically. Well, I take that back. Yes, Dr. From River Forest, Dr. What's his name? President of River Forest, Zimmerman.
Zimmerman, yes.
He just mentioned within a report that he was giving concerning, I forget what it was even now on, but he did mention that the faculty salaries are low in comparison to secular salaries, very low, and that we have to do something about it. But he just made sort of a direct statement about it, but that was all. He didn't discuss it.
Right.
No, it wasn't discussed.
Right, right. Okay, well, now looking over what we heard in the recorded message, something on stewardship, at least the money angle of it, something on education. And I wonder, was anything talked about concerning evangelism today or last night?
I forget the numbers, resolutions that evangelism thrust in congregations will be emphasized, things of this nature.
Oh, yes.
But they weren't discussed, they were just sort of passed automatically almost. So all I'd say about a half a dozen of this nature.
Did they stress any particular evangelistic technique or method?
No. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, earlier in the week, Monday or Saturday, earlier in the convention, they passed one. It was the first or second one on the Evangelism Committee. Committee number was number one.
Yes.
On that we study the various programs and make sure that it's kosher with Lutheran theology.
Right.
And that's the only area that where you got, like the Kennedy program or others, that were just brought in for one bit of discussion.
Right.
But that was early in the convention. No individual program was mentioned today in discussion.
Okay. What about fellowship relations with the American Lutheran Church? Has that been brought up at all?
No, it hasn't been brought up yet.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes, you think it will be, or?
Well, it will depend, because President Price last night asked each of the chairmen of the committees to only put forward what they felt were the most important resolutions and put the least forward way in the back.
Right.
So that if we don't get everything done, and I don't know what that committee chair, where he put his.
Mm-hmm.
It would be committee number three.
Do you happen to have your workbook with you tonight?
No, I left it. And the reason I did, let me say this now. Right,
yeah.
As we were closing, before closing prayer, I had it in my hand and I put it down when I heard Ed DeBerkey had an apparent heart attack.
Oh, my.
Sometime this afternoon, and I dropped my book and I just left it there.
Oh, my.
Before I realized I was halfway home, before I realized I didn't have it with me.
Well, what's the story on that?
I don't know. President Bush just mentioned it, that he had an apparent heart attack. Because I just saw Ed DeBerkey yesterday and had a nice, we had a little visit together, but you know about this, what was going on.
Right.
And, Laura, it just took me aback. And then, of course, we said a closing prayer for him and his family and just closing the session, and then that was it.
Friday, July 11th, 1975.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit late. Have you got any questions you want to ask?
Okay, yes. We've heard that the Fort Wayne Senior College is closed and they'll be moved to Ann Arbor.
Uh-huh.
Concerning that, how close was the vote there?
It was, I'll find it. There's 121 division, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. I'm trying to find my notes. Believe me, I've got two pages of notes on this one thing.
that's efficient, 121.
Oh, here it is. 46 for it.
Uh-huh.
426 against it.
Okay. All right, fine. All right. And
548.
When will that move take place? Is that in there?
June 1st, 1977.
Mm-hmm. And was there a dramatic debate involved before the vote?
No, just very routine. It took a long time.
Uh-huh.
Well, there was the Fort people were kind of upset about it, you know, and they said, well, we can understand why St. Louis people are not saying anything, but there is a difference between the seminaries, and no one is saying that there is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing dramatic, really, no.
Mm-hmm. then did they also vote in the Springfield Seminary to be moved to the Fort Wayne campus?
Yes.
That passed, huh?
Yes.
And that passed handily, did it?
Yes, quite handily.
Oh, uh-huh. And there wasn't much debate on that.
Quite a bit. But, for one thing, they spent more time really trying to figure out what they were going to do with the Springfield campus.
Well, of course, you know, the news reporters sometimes they grab it sensational, and, you know, maybe one or two had said that. And,
uh-huh.
But we hope and pray that there'll be very little erosion like that, huh?
Uh-huh.
Listen, when are you coming back, soon?
No, we won't be back until the end of the month.
Oh! Well, enjoy yourself.
Thank you so much.
Listen, say hello to all the others, and tell them we're praying for a safe return.
Okay, sure will. And yeah. Thank you so much, Martin.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye. All right.
Quite a number of resolutions were left without any action by the time the 51st Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod adjourned at 5:45 Friday afternoon in Anaheim, California. The main reason for the backlog of items was an extended debate on the contested proposal to move Concordia Seminary in Springfield, Illinois, to the campus of Concordia Senior College in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This matter was finally resolved only minutes before adjournment, as the motion then passed. This means that the Senior College will be phased out as a separate educational institution of the Synod, and its pre-seminary program relocated at Concordia Lutheran College at Ann Arbor, Michigan. The phasing out and relocation are to be completed by September 1st, 1976. The Springfield Seminary will move to the Fort Wayne campus June 1st, 1977. The seminary actually had its beginnings in Fort Wayne in 1846, and so this represents a return, in a sense. It was also briefly based in St. Louis. The convention did take time to consider its relationship to other Lutherans. Tuesday night, it voted to continue membership in the Lutheran Council in the USA on a selected basis and to continue evaluation of its participation. The convention heard the presidents of the sister Lutheran church bodies in the United States and Canada. The president of the American Lutheran Church, Dr. David Preuss, said, "We expect you to listen and learn from us just as we expect to listen and learn from you. We expect to contribute theologically to you just as we expect you to contribute to us. The ALC does not believe," he said, "that God has uniquely cast any one church body in a teaching role." Dr. Preuss continued by saying, "We will strive to respect your history without reliving it." Dr. Robert J. Marshall, president of the Lutheran Church in America, said that while there are differences between the LCA and the Missouri Synod, we have been quite unified, fortunately, in offering bread to people, even though we have been less unified in offering them the bread of life. Dr. Marshall said that the LCA members have not always made clear in practice where they stood in faith. He said, "We have needed correction at times. On the other hand, we must be honest enough to admit that many in the LCA believe the Missouri Synod is in equal danger from the other side." The convention also heard a greeting from Dr. S.T. Jacobson, president of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Canada. President Jacob Preuss closed the assembly by urging the delegates to